This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If we take a look at the globe today, people are after their desires. People are chasing what will please them, their pleasures. So you find the youth vaping. And not only the youth, the older generation have taken it up as well. You find people in the nightclubs. You find people partying. You find people after that which they feel will fulfill their souls. But funny enough, as pleasure rises, we find that happiness, the bar for happiness, is dropping, and people are unsatisfied and dissatisfied with their lives. And the countries that have the most freedom in the world tend to have some of the highest rates of depression, of suicide. I remember going to Sweden, and the brother was telling me that we have one of the highest rates of suicide in the world, yet we are one of the most free countries, liberated countries, according to the Western ideology. So if the answer is in liberating one's desire and becoming a hedonist, someone who is after his desire, then why is it that these people are offing themselves? Why is it that these people are offing themselves? They literally put a gun to their heads and blow their brains out. So the answer cannot be in that which is chasing the desire and going after that desire day in, day out. You know, what does a vape pen cost today? What does a vape pen cost? Does anyone know? Maybe people are ashamed to say that they know, right? Don't worry, I won't say I know how you know, right? No, uncle, but how do you know? I'm just starting with you. No, £5, we know it's about 5-10 pounds, right? It doesn't actually cost £5. What it is costing you is your future. It is costing you your health. It is costing you your drive. You know, the human mind is made such that when we take that vape pen early in the morning and suck on it, and you think you're putting, you know, strawberry and lemon and lime into your lungs, those are just chemicals made up in a lab. When you put that into your lungs, the mind is designed such that it releases a certain chemical that floods your brain and tells you you've achieved what you need to achieve for the day. You know, they say, and forgive my language, I know we're in a masjid, they say that sex raises your dopamine level by one time, meaning 100%. It floods into your brain, right? Nicotine raises your dopamine level by 200%. Which means twice the amount of that involving or engaging in sex does. So imagine what this does to the psyche, which has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go out there and build. You know, the lack of that chemical within your brain is actually driving your life forward. So when you wake up and you take a puff on that, you're actually flooding your brain with a chemical that tells you you're all okay now. You don't need to go out and work. You don't need to go and provide for your family. You don't need to do much. So you find the person is lacking the drive to move forward in their lives. And every few seconds, every few minutes, you find them putting their hands in their pocket, taking out the pen and sucking on it again. You know why? They're trying to repeat that chemical flooding of the brain. You know, when you take that first hit and your brain is full of these pleasure chemicals, right? They're trying to repeat that. But as you continue to try again and again, it becomes less and less until such a time where that will do nothing for you. And that is why we find that a person who partakes of food, you sit down to a meal and you eat the most delicious meal, which bite is the most enjoyable one. It's the first one that you take and put into your mouth. And you enjoy that so much. So you find the person beginning to eat and eat and eat. And they eat and fill their bellies and they continue to eat, trying to repeat the pleasure that they received from the first bite. But that will not happen. That will not happen. You know why? Because this is the dunya. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal created it for you to take just as much as you need from it. And that is why Jannah is fulfilling. That is why Jannah is fulfilling. Look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمَ أُكُلَاتٍ يُقِنَّ صُلْبَهُ. It is enough for the son of Adam to have a few morsels of food that will keep his back upright. That will keep his back upright. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَ. So if it is absolutely necessary, فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِشَرَابِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِنَفَسِهِ. So it will be a third for his food, and a third for his drink, and a third for air. You know what? That third that we go to, we say, you should only fill a third. You should only fill a third. That third, and third is only if you must. The hadith starts by saying, مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌ شَرَّ وِعَاءً مِّن بَطْن. There is no vessel that the son of Adam has filled that is worse than the stomach. Which means that fulfilling your desires to the nth degree will never be good for you. It will never be good for you. Fulfilling your desires to the point where you don't want any more of it, but you continue to take it is actually أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen the one who took his nafs as his God? You've taken your nafs as your God. Because what you've done is you've said, okay, I want this, so I will get it. What have you done? You've replaced Allah with your desire. You've just said, Allah wants me to do this, but I want to do that. So I will actually do what I want to do. What have you done? You've taken your nafs as your driver. You've taken your nafs as your God. So this dunya was designed such that if you partake of it in small amounts, if you partake of it in small amounts, then you will find that the little that you have will be very enjoyable. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made most of it haram that you see out there. So you see the people engaging, dressing the way they want to dress, drinking what they want to drink, eating what they want to eat, smoking what they want to smoke, taking whichever drugs they want to take. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it most of, in fact, all of that, He made it haram, right? And then He gave you halal. So you're not allowed to go out there and sleep with whoever you want to. But I've given you the option of nikah. Here you are, it's allowed. So you are allowed to partake of this dunya in small quantities. In small quantities. Yes, you are allowed to marry four. No problem. You're allowed to marry four in Islam. No problem. But after that four, haram. You are married to four, you cannot get the fifth wife. Why? Because you have chosen that Allah will govern your life. And who is that Allah? That Allah is the one who created you and fashioned you and placed the system within you. And now that He has given you a manual to operate your life, you choose not to. You say, no, hold on. I will follow my desire. So what happens? Ultimately, you reach a point where that thing that you gained pleasure from, that particular vape pen that you smoke becomes a source of your torment. It becomes a source of your torment because now when you wake up every day, there's no drive. And I'm using the example of a vape pen because it is so common amongst everybody today. I see people puffing on it. The man puffs on it so much that when he blows out, you can't even see his face anymore. Allahu Akbar. Is that what we were created for? And you think that it's costing you £5? Wallahi, it is costing you your future. Wallahi, it is costing you your future. It's not costing you the £5 that you spent on it. Your health is being destroyed, and more importantly, I believe, your drive is being taken, sapped away from you. Same with the images that we have on our phones. Easy to access these images. Easy to watch the obscene and the immoral. Very easy. Pick it up and you got access to all sorts of scenes. You know, they say that kings of the past would not have viewed the number of naked bodies that people by the age of 15 today would have viewed. Allahu Akbar. What do you think that has done to your psyche? What do you think that has done to your psyche? Do you think it's just left you all okay? And let's be open about this. You know, I know that there is this conservative culture where we don't want to talk about these issues, but they are rampant. They are happening. People who are coming to the masjid are engaged in some of these activities. People who are going to madrasa are engaged in some of these activities. Let's be real about it. You know, this scenery that we are speaking about has a natural inclination. Now, why do I say this? You don't have a natural inclination to go out and take crack cocaine, do you? You don't have a natural inclination to go out and, you know, have some heroin, shoot yourself up with heroin. You don't have a natural inclination to go and snort something out there in the streets. But you have a natural inclination towards the opposite gender. You have a natural inclination to engaging, fulfilling your sexual desires. So what they are appealing to is very, very powerful. And the same goes. You engage, you flood your brain with dopamine. And this drug that is within your brain, this chemical that is within your brain, will sap the drive away from your life. So now you don't want to work. Hence you find a person who's addicted to such scenery will tell us that, brother, I'm done. I want to off myself. I can't live like this anymore. I have cases where the brother tells me I go 5 times, 10 times, and it's not enough. It's not enough. My body is telling me I can't do this anymore, but my mind and my soul desires more. You see why we say that deprivation by following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the answer. And there is no other answer. You will never fulfill your soul with this dunya. If the answer was in that, then all of that scenery and imagery would have fulfilled you. You'd be happy. But they say, and I recently heard a scientist say this, that the higher the amount of pleasure you pursue in your life, the less happiness you will have in your life. Allahu Akbar. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us about our desires? Ya ma'shar al-shabab, O youth, من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج. The one who is able to get married, then let him marry. For indeed it is better for lowering your gaze, and it is more protective of your private parts. What is he telling us? The first lesson we can take from this is that primarily people get married to fulfill their desire. So there is nothing wrong in admitting that. That is a halal outlet that will earn you reward. Nothing wrong in admitting that. But the second thing that we see, the second part of this hadith, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and the one who is unable to do so, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. So the one who is unable, let him fast, for indeed that is a shield. You know, why is the fast a shield? Why is the fast a shield from your desires? Can I ask that question to the brothers here today? Anyone know? Why is the fast a shield from your desire? Anyone know?
Increases your willpower.
Jazakumullahu khairan. That's the answer I was looking for. It's not about deprivation. It's not about removing or lacking food in your stomach and your stomach grumbling and you feeling thirsty, because ultimately at the end of the day you are going to eat and drink. You are going to eat and drink. So it's not only about that. It's about building your willpower, your ability to keep away from something despite wanting it. And what are the three things? Food, drink, and desire. Allah said, keep away from it from the morning until the evening. What is that fast doing? It's preparing you for bigger challenges. Okay, now you see a woman on the street, or you see a woman on your device. It becomes easier for you to close your eyes, look away, avert your gaze. Why? Because you are able to practice that, keeping away from that which is halal during the daylight hours, from dawn to dusk. You're able to do that. So now it becomes easier for you to do it when you see something haram. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a training ground for us to protect ourselves. Hence the entire Sharia is there to protect the human being until he gets to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, while Allah is pleased with him. And there, the amazing thing about it is you will get that which will fulfill your soul. And if you pursue that, the beauty of it is that if you pursue that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the pursuit fulfilling in this dunya as well. So you know how we spoke about a person who's addicted to these scenes and can't leave them, and he reaches a point where I want to off myself, I can't do this anymore, I have no drive, I have nothing. The opposite is that when you follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep away from haram, keep away from your desires, then you will find that you are fulfilled. You feel happy. You feel pleased. Why? Because again, the pleasure has come down, the pursuit of the pleasure has come down. So Allah has placed pleasure and happiness in the pursuit of His happiness. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That is the Sharia. That is what we have. Unfortunately, today we wait for science to tell us this is why you should follow the Sharia. Yet Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal told us more than 1,400 years ago. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells us that the one who moves away from my signs, then he will have a constricted life, and we will raise him yawm al-qiyamati blind. He will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you raise me blind? And I could see in the dunya. I could see. So Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells him, in this manner the signs came to you, and you ignored them. You chose to turn away from them. You forgot them. So today you shall be forgotten. Today you shall be abandoned. Today you shall be left. Wallahi, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, where are we sitting today? We're sitting in Masjid Humaira. Where is Masjid Humaira? In the city of London. Where is the city of London? In the United Kingdom. Where is the United Kingdom? In the world. Who does the world belong to? None other than Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Who is the dominion for today? Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal will ask. يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Who does it belong to? To Allah, the One, the Compeller. Why the One? Because everybody else has fallen away. Their power has fallen away. Their might has fallen away. Their authority has fallen away. Today, who does it belong to? It belongs to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Everything in this world, everything in this universe belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including you, yourself, your nafs, your body, your bones, your lungs, your flesh, your everything that you have. It belongs to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Hence we as human beings say, as Muslims say, Inna Lillah. Indeed we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you not accept as a Muslim that Allah is your commander? Allah is the one whom you take commands from. Allah is the one whom you listen to. Allah is the one whom you follow. Allah is the one whom you worship. Did you not accept as a Muslim, as one who submitted to your Maker? Yes, you did. So why then look elsewhere, everywhere else for the answer? The answer is in front of you. It is in your Quran. It is in the Salah that you perform. It is in your understanding of that message from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And this Salah, why do we say it's a turning point? And without it, you can't change your life. You cannot change your life. Someone performing four salawat in the day without a valid excuse, they perform four salawat in the day and they want to change their lives, they will not change their lives. You will not change your life. If you are missing your Fajr Salah, Wallahi, you will not change your life. Yes, maybe you are on a journey where you have built up from 1, 2, 3, 4, now you have reached 4 and you are about to get to 5, Alhamdulillah. You are on a journey, you are moving towards something good, we commend you for that. But if you have been performing 3 salawat, 4 salawat in the day for the last 10, 15 years, I can guarantee you that your life has not changed much. If anything, it has become worse now than it was 15 years ago. Why? Because you chose not to do the bare minimum that Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal has asked of you. And I will show you, display to you how the salah is actually a changer of your life, and we will end off at that bi-idhnillah. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells us,
أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ.
Recite that which has been revealed to you of the book and establish the salah. Establish the salah. Indeed, salah prevents from immorality and evil. You remember we spoke about immorality? And what it does to your brain and how it floods your brain with a certain chemical. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says that salah places a barrier between you and those desires. If you establish your salah correctly, then you'll find yourself keeping away from the haram. And if you continue to engage in that haram, there is something wrong with your salah. And when you keep away from immorality, what happens? You wake up with drive in the morning. You want to go to work. You want to achieve. You want to provide for your family. You want to do something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you,
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ.
Successful are those, the ones whom they are conscious of Allah in their salah. They are conscious of Allah in their salah. They are what? They are successful. Successful in the dunya, successful in the akhirah. And that is success, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. You want to change your life, you don't know where to start from, begin with your salah. You're already praying 5 salawat in the day, improve your salah. Your salah has already improved, add to it qiyamul layl. And you know what will happen? You will achieve success in this dunya. You will love the little bit that you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will enjoy it and find happiness in it. And you will look forward to meeting Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a lot for you. One parting message. You know, we speak about tawakkul, taqwa, and that is there 100%. But something that we really can inculcate in our lives is husnul dhanni billah. Thinking good of Allah always. When you get up in the morning, say Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. I thank Allah who gave me life after He gave me death, and to Him I shall return. And then think that, Ya Allah, You have given me an amazing life, and I look forward to even more. I know You will give it to me. And have that yaqeen from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal that He will give you the best. Why? Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I am with my servant as he assumes of me. In dhanna bi khayr fa khayr. If he thinks goodness of me, then good. Wa in dhanna bi shar fa shar. And if he thinks bad of me, then it will be bad. So inculcate that good thought of Allah in your life. And go about your day knowing that Allah is there for you. And He will provide. And He will do everything for you. And think good of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your doors. You'll just see things happening in front of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to become more grateful. And may Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal give us the ability to focus on what we have and to be grateful for the halal that He has provided. For indeed, that is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ability to enjoy halal is a ni'mah from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empower us to do that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to keep away from that which is haram and prohibited. And may He be pleased with us when we meet Him. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Shall we take some questions? Okay. How long? Okay, inshallah, we can take some questions. Let's try and stick to the topic and try not to ask anything political. We know the reason why. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. Any questions, brothers? Okay, let me ask you a question. Did what I say make sense? Was it clear? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Sometimes I feel like I don't know whether I got the message across, you know. So, Alhamdulillah, good to hear that. No questions? Oh, okay. Yes, brother. Allahi barik fik.
In terms of progressing towards getting closer to Allah, what should be sort of a sign that we are, because when we're looking back, that we've made progress?
Yes, Alhamdulillah. So, There are two signs. So the question, to repeat it, is that what are the signs that we are gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are some of the signs? And this is a very common question, something that comes to the mind of a believer. The first sign that you can look for in your life is, what do you find yourself doing? So analyze your day. And if the first thing that you do when you wake up is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pursuing the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Fajr Salah, recitation of the Quran, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find yourself clearing your intention between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly, then know that Allah wants goodness for you, and you are on the correct path. And the second thing that I would say, مَنْ سَرَّتْهُ حَسَنَتُهُ وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَتُهُ فَذَلِكَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The one whose good deed makes him happy. It makes him happy. You gain fulfillment. You gain joy from worshipping Allah. And your bad deed makes you sad. Then that is a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you do something wrong, you feel like, I've done something to displease my Maker. I should seek forgiveness. I should ask Allah. He's seen me. Nobody saw me, but Allah saw me. Let me seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you know you are a believer. You know, people ask me this often, that how do I know I'm not a munafiq? How do I know I'm not a munafiq? It worries me. And the most profound answer that I heard was, if it worries you, then you are not a munafiq. If that is a worry, a concern for you, that you are a munafiq, then you are not a munafiq. Why? Because this was the concern of some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This was their concern. Am I a munafiq? You know, at night I do this, in the daytime I do that. I have these two different lives I'm living. People see me a certain way. But I know myself. Everybody is like this. It's called imposter syndrome. If that imposter syndrome bothers you, then you are not a munafiq. A munafiq never sits and says, am I a munafiq? He never sits and questions because it doesn't bother him. He has no conscience. So that is a proof, a sign that you have something within you that's alive, and you should thank Allah for that. You should thank Allah for that. Barakallah feek. Any other question? Brother, give us a question. MashaAllah. You look like you have some. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Shall we wrap up? Yeah? Jazakumullahu khairan. It was lovely being here. Thank you for attending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and gather us in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Ameen. Oh, okay.
Like this.
Okay. And I look at the camera. Okay. Hey? Oh, yeah, like this. My scarf, okay?
Yes, perfect.
Good. 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 Good.